Je vous présente Adewale Olukayode, qui est en train de terminer un MFA en réalisation et scénario à l'Université de Columbia, qui a été, si j'ai bien compris, un étudiant d'Amos pendant qu'Amos donnait des cours à Columbia au printemps de cette année, et qui est également réalisateur et l'auteur d'un court-métrage qui a déjà reçu des récompenses. Le sujet de sa communication est l'épanouissement, la montée en puissance du black cinéma ou du cinéma noir. Je ne me prononcerai pas sur la bonne traduction. Adewale.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm Zagotai, Cinema College de France. Thank you all for being here as well, you all. I would like to talk about black African cinema. Black African cinema gives African people the right to produce their own image and shape of stories on a continent for self-determination and representation. By using the camera as a weapon to share a quest for nation building and a quest to innovatively revive lost cultural heritage and add to the diverse cinema that is of Africa. Black African filmmakers present images that reaffirm black African life in an attempt to undo colonial wrongs and raise political consciousness level as a means for transformation to achieve what Frantz Fanon calls a new revolutionary humanism. The two films I'm presenting today embody that humanism and give the people in Africa self-determination in the face of hardship. Though each country has its own existing cultures and sometimes different colonizers, their commonality is the struggle to parse the impact of that oppression and navigate how they approach their cinematic future. With pioneers such as Omaru Gando, Med Hando, Usman Senben, Suleiman Sis, Haley Dreamer, Jibril Jolt Mambeti, and Ola Balogun, just to name a few, these filmmakers tackled heavy subjects and are able to convey messages through cinema for the purpose of gaining independence of the mind and of the African people and people around the world. These filmmakers knew that these images both shape the way they view themselves and how you view them. Frantz Fanon's new revolutionary humanism speaks to the people and say that everything depends on them. They are both responsible for the stagnation and the progress of their country, and it is within their power to eradicate the colonial powers and the colonial ideology. The first film shot in Nigeria was Palaver. It used Nigerian actors, used Nigerians as speaking roles, but it depicted us through a British colonial lens. The director, Jeffrey Barkas, portrayed Nigerians as cannibals, savages, and uncivilized people, whereas the colonizers were seen as the ideal. These images were racist. It devalued the images of Africans, and it created a model of behavior and a system of values which made people accept their place in the colonial order. It is true for many colonial films. Palaver, Tarzan, The African Queen were works designed to make Africans see themselves as backwards and aspire to be colonizers. The radio, music, and magazines were all used for imperialist purposes as well, disindoctrinated and internalized oppression. Has anyone ever heard an African tell a story? If you did, you will know their mother's name, how they feel about the government, and with just one story. Countries had stories that were relayed orally from generation to generation. Their stories were alive and fresh. Their inflection of the voice, the use of riddles, the language was all a magical tool to highlight their culture's history. But European influence challenged that. Stories of Africans were devalued in favor of European stories, which indoctrinated a way of being and looking at the world. But the colonized kept their culture alive by reciting poems, music, and dance. They retained their cultural heritage in the face of imperialist teachings. That's why showcasing Black African cinema on a world stage is revolutionary, because it allows us to reclaim the media used against us and present ourselves in a true fashion, and in the process, work to decolonize the mind of Africans and others. Influenced by Sergei Eisenstein's films, filmmakers from African countries were influenced by Marxist teachings and were able to adapt the traumas of the Soviets to fit their own. They used the cinematic structure of the Soviet montage to convey visually what they used to convey orally. Technology was used against them, so they sought help from other places. Sen Ben was a Senegalese filmmaker trained in Moscow. Suleiman Sis was a Malian filmmaker trained in Moscow. Safi Faye was a Senegalese director trained in Berlin. Ola Balogun was a Nigerian filmmaker trained in France. Technology and cinema was kept from the African countries. These auteurs had to travel outside of their countries to learn the power of filmmaking as a tool to tell their stories. I'm going to show a film now. In Zala, Sen Ben portrays Senegalese elites as caricatures of the bourgeoisie, of the European bourgeoisie. Zala, which means impotence, speaks to the impotence of the new Senegalese officials and El Hadji's impotence to consummate with his third wife. And the first scene, we see Senegalese officials, Senegalese men in traditional clothes, throw out the Europeans and take over their Chamber of Commerce, only to have in the next scene the same Senegalese men dressed in suits, in European suits, speaking French in that same Chamber of Commerce. The film plays on El Hadji's impotence with his wife, but when he has on his clothes, European clothes, he is powerful. He feels powerful. That is attributed to his status. He has many wives. He pours imported mineral water into the radiator of the Mercedes. El Hadji, with his European habits, taste encapsulates the colonization of the mind. Sen Ben highlights this. Sen Ben highlights the way greed divides Senegalese people. This is why Frantz Fanon said, it's not enough to simply remove the colonizer. We also must remove the colonial ideology. The people of Senegal were fooled into thinking the Senegalese people were taking back their country, only to have them back in the same position when the Europeans were there. Fanon said the only way to achieve true liberty is a decentralized structure which values all of its members. That's why the replacement of a new government is not the answer, as Sen Ben clearly illustrates. Telling sociopolitical stories is the basis of Black African cinema, because it arises from the desperate need to tell our own stories and control our own narrative and reclaim our own image. These films show humanity is greater than status, and all we have is the freedom of expression, and in an effort to decolonize ourselves. This film is Hyenas by Jibril Jolt Mambety. In this film, Jibril Jamamati critiques globalization of Africa and how it generates materialist desires and turn peoples against each other. The film follows Draman Drame, the shopkeeper of the town. He is told that his ex-girlfriend, Ramatou, who is now richer than the World Bank, is coming to town. The people of Colomban, Senegal, are happy. Why? Because her appearance brings wealth. What the people want is her money. What she wants in return is revenge against Draman Drame, who once hired two men back in the day to claim her to claim the fathership of her unborn child. The film Hyenas is about the corruption of the people. Hyenas, meaning scavengers, eater of leftovers, represents the poor people in the village. Ramatou acts as a lion who leaves her leftovers for the scavengers. Draman Drame is the prey. Her appearance in the town is marked by her outside material wealth. As she shows up with Western goods, Fulani warriors, and a bodyguard, and an Asian bodyguard, and also she has an eccentric hairstyle, one that the little girls will follow eventually. This material wealth led to the people of the town who turn against their own. Ramatou speaks Wolof, the language of the people. The people trust her. She's one of them, yet she wears her wealth and acts in such a way to signify that she is above them. She is above tradition. When a leader scoffs at her position, at her proposition to let them sacrifice their own, he says, we won't do it, she simply says, I'll wait. Her imported Western items and her World Bank wealth are all identifiers of neocolonial influence. One might ask, is Ramatou corrupting these people, or is she playing to what is already there, the desire for Western goods? She blames Draman Drame for her past and torment, and as she morally corrupts these people of Colomban by seeking his death in exchange for great wealth. TVs, refrigerators, air conditioners, these people crave Western goods and play right into Ramatou's hands. In order to fully eradicate the colonial mind, growth as a means of African expression, political and cultural and artistic means must be met. Rafiki, a film by Wanuri Kawu, is a film that explores queerness in Kenya. It is shown around the world, but was originally banned by the Kenyan government. President Matua said the film promotes lesbianism. She was met with government censorship. Observation of same-sex pairings in various African cultures were considered by the colonizers to be further proof of African inferiority. Even though Kenya has broken free of imperial rule, the remnant of censorship remains. The freedom of expression is not met. Though Wanuri was eventually able to show her film in Kenya, it took a fight. And that's what Black African filmmaking is, a fight. The next generation of African filmmakers and directors are discovering their voice and tackling new themes and creating new discussions amongst the diaspora and creating films that provoke people and make them think in different ways and giving a new perspective on Black African life. Hajuj Kuka with Akasha, Wanuri Kiyu with Rafiki, and many filmmakers around the world many African filmmakers are doing their best to contribute to Black African cinema. I am a child of divorce. When my mother divorced my father, she also divorced a country. A little kid, a little Black kid in America who has Nigerian background was taken away from his country, but it didn't escape me. Inside the house, I had a Nigerian I was Wale Adewale Olukayode, but outside in the streets, I was Wally. That shaped my understanding of Black African life and also Black American life. And I'm also adding to Black African cinema as well with the new perspective. Thank you all for listening to me. Thank you all for being here.